Welcome
Blog
to Talk
Radio.
Study.
Blog Talk Radio.
Today.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light.
Welcome to Light of the World Noonday Bible Study. We are so glad that you have tuned in today. We are looking forward to a great study on the book of Acts. Get your Bibles, get your pens and your paper, and we're going to be going to Acts 21, and we'll be starting today at 25. But we just want to give you some background on where we are. This is Paul now in Jerusalem, and when he got there, there was a controversy about him teaching the Gentiles not to obey the law of Moses. And so they call him in question and say, now we know in order to appease the Jews who have this conflict, we need you to do something. We have these young men who are Nazarene, and they've taken a Nazarite vow, and we want you to join them in this vow. And then the people wouldn't know that you obey the law. Because we don't want to try to prove anything. If you do this, it was sanctioned that you do obey the law of Moses and you're not fighting against the law of Moses. And so we see where Paul had the same issue back in, I think, Acts the 15th chapter, I think it was verse 29, where the Jews wanted the Gentiles who got saved to start being circumcised and go back into all of the law. And so Paul was telling them that we give them strict instructions on what they need to do. If you want to obey the law, it's not a curse in the law, but for the Gentiles, they don't have to go through that. And so we see where Paul had to go through this ritual with these young men who are going through the vow of the Nazarite. And if you go back in number 6, you can see where this vow took place. And so at a certain date, they had to shave their head, and then the offerings had to be offered up. But they was wanting Paul now to not only just go through with the ritual with these guys by shaving his hair, and being in the temple and all that, but also he had to pay for the sacrifice. And so now we see where Paul said, okay, fine, I'm going to go ahead and do just that. So now we come to the 25th verse where we're going to start today. And we want you thank you all those who are online today. If you want to comment, please just press 1 on your phone, and we make sure to bring you live so you can be a great part of this Bible study today. So we're going to start out today with Acts 21, verse 25 and 26 in Elder Heath.
Oh, okay. I have the New American Standard Version. And so he was saying here, but concerning the Gentiles who have believed, we wrote, having decided that they should abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what is strangled, and abstain from fornication. Then Paul took them in, and the next day purified himself along with them, went into the temple, and it says here, giving notice of the completion of the days of purification until the sacrifice was offered for each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we do see here, as you said, since he was willing to go through this ritual with these men, these candidates, and to, you know, at all costs win all men, even though he himself knew that some of these things were no longer necessary.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they said he wasn't keeping the law of Moses, but the law of Moses had been extended so much. They were speaking of the Ten Commandments,
right.
But by then they had added some, some hundreds of amendments that were ritualistic. And he was saying, rather than these Gentile converts go through all of this stuff that we have added as Jews, thinking it's necessary, these are some things that are necessary, and I will adhere to that and instill not only what they asked him to do for the men, but then he also kept the days of purification before they were he was allowed to come out of the temple. So he was, you know, even though he was of the Jews and he was of, you know, more than one nationality, he was, like you say, he was trying to please them but not appease them, because there were some things that he said, okay, I can do that, and I'll do this with these men, and so you'll be satisfied as being the head over me. I'm coming back to Jerusalem to report, make reports to you. So he did that, and he was just giving them some basic necessaries. You know, you do this, this, that, and the other, and so to speak, you're in. Just like we do today. Some things you don't look. You confess, you believe in your heart, boom, that's it. So, you know, other people, you know, no longer sitting up on the front bench for 30 days and mourning and having to, you know. So, but anyway, he was just cutting through some of that added on religious stuff and saying, this is what you do, and you'll be, you know, saved.
All right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I look at this also too. We have to look at the big picture. Bishop Kevin always say we have to see the big picture. And when you really think about it, Paul could have had the attitude is, I know what I believe, and so bunk y'all. But he had to set an example, especially for these young men who are going through this. So he had to consider them also. So now he submitted himself to leadership. And so he demonstrating to them now, when they go and do what they do, they also need to submit themselves to leadership. So there's a lesson in everything that we read in the Bible. There's a lesson in this that Paul is now demonstrating his humility to obey leadership, because going through this ritual was not going to hurt his spirit being saved. It wasn't going to damage his spirit. It wasn't going to do anything. So he decided that in order to save some, I don't mind making this sacrifice, because these young men need somebody to look up to.
Right.
While they're going through this process, they also need life lesson to learn how to submit to leadership. And so I see that. And then Paul saying, now listen, I'm going through this with you, but I want you to know, we told the Gentiles this, that because they're Gentiles, they don't have to be subject to the law, the ritual law of Moses. Because now they don't have to circumcise their foreskin. Now they're circumcising their heart. It's in their heart. And then this is the message that Jesus preached. And so, but I want you to know, so what we did was we told the Gentiles that all they have to do is observe. Certain things they need to observe is saving, but keeping themselves from things offered to idols. Because we know the Gentiles, you know, they were idol worshippers. And so abstain from your idol. And that's the same thing with what the Ten Commandments say. Love the Lord thy God, the first commandments. So and have no other God before him. And so it's saying the same thing, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's saying that now abstain from these things, from idols. So now you only want to have one God, which is Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he said, and then from blood. So when we say don't kill, you it's the same commandment, but now just saying differently. Now it's about your, like Jesus, when Jesus came and started preaching the gospel, he began to say, well, when you think about murder, it's not the actual act. If you hate a brother without a cause,
yes.
mm-hmm. you're a murderer.
Yes.
And so Paul is saying, now we tell the Gentiles these things, but we want them to just observe these things, that to stay away from idols,
mm-hmm.
stay away from blood,
mm-hmm.
and then in things that are sprinkled, and stay away from fornication.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your body clean.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do something with the body, make sure it stay clean, pure, and keep your heart and your mind right. So Paul is saying, now, I'm doing these rituals with you.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what we instructed the Gentiles that they need to do,
mm-hmm.
and which ties in, really, with the law of Moses.
Mm-hmm. And, Pastor, I'm thinking also, it's like what we do today when new converts come,
uh-huh.
and they come up and they confess, and it's their first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of times our overseers, our pastors, bishops are asking them
mm-hmm.
to confess.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times you hear all of us in the congregation,
mm-hmm.
right.
even though we've already been saved for a while,
that's
and we confess and
mm-hmm.
we repeat
mm-hmm.
this,
salvation.
Yeah, salvation. A phrase along with them,
mm-hmm.
even though they are the ones coming for the first
mm-hmm.
time being saved.
Mm-hmm.
But we do it, and not because we think that we haven't been saved,
yeah.
but we do remember still that all have sinned
uh-huh.
and come short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, as saints, when they come and confess, we are confessing and right along with them, because it doesn't hurt us any.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, when they hear it, it helps to support
yes.
and encourage them.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. Is it is a support
yes.
Of making that confession as well. They are hearing other voices. They're not standing alone, and that's a very important point, is they are not standing alone. So somebody else is there with them besides the person that's just giving them the instruction.
Yes.
So that is very good that we do that, and we cannot confess too much. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. So let's go to, is any comment online? You guys are listening out there, any comment on verse 25 and verse 26? Press 1 on your phone and we'll bring you live. Press 1 on your phone and we see where, Elder Heath was saying today, when we repeat the sinner's prayer with other people who are in the congregation or who are online,
mm-hmm.
and Bishop Kevin has gone through it, we repeat it also, even though we know we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't take nothing off of us.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Because so Paul didn't mind going through this.
Yeah, that was his thing.
He didn't mind going through this ritual
yeah.
because it wasn't taking anything from him, but it was encouraging
mm-hmm.
yeah.
those young men who was going through it
yeah. right.
to have somebody else who you know that God has done great work through
mm-hmm.
is coming and walking beside you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we have to do today. We have to walk beside people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what discipleship is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Discipleship is not me run ahead of you and you pull it and you behind me. No, we walking this thing together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Side by side, we walking together along this way. And when people feel you walking with them, see you walking with them, they'd be more inspired to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're way ahead of them and they're in the back,
right.
you're going to lose something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see this is what Paul is demonstrating in this scripture now. We really look at it, that the Holy Ghost is allowing Paul to do this
mm-hmm.
so these young men can see something and be inspired and encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Then even the elders who put this on him didn't get no pushback.
Because
Paul could say, hey, the Holy Ghost did that through me, and
right,
the Holy Ghost told me this. But no, he submitted himself
and
went along with this, and I believe those young men were blessed and the elders were encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that...
So do you think, in a way, it kind of what he was doing, it kind of foreshadows the paraclete, you know, walking beside those new converts until that time came? It maybe I'm just seeing a kind of a precursor or a shadowing of what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, he stayed there. He walked beside them and walked them through this thing until that could come upon them. Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great because we all need the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes when we don't have the Holy Ghost yet, we have something that can symbolize it or can remind us of, and then can give us a full picture of how, or an example.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all of us learn by example.
Yes.
You know, and that's why Jesus used a lot of parables. Because we learn things by example. So when Jesus began to talk about the parables and different things, they was able to relate to what he's talking about and gain from it. So Paul now is walking in this vein where these four young men, can see and get a picture of what humility looked like. Of what inspiration looks like. This man, he don't have to do this, but he's doing this anyway.
Yes.
And he's walking beside me, so now I got some help.
Yes.
I got some encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can go on. And we all, the only way the devil get us depressed is when we get by ourselves.
Yeah.
So we all need somebody. If we could, the devil, he is a strategist. And the greatest war strategy is divide and conquer. If he can get you by himself, he got you. And so I'm always amazed how that when some Christians, they're in the church all the time, and when troubles hit their house,
they won't come.
They stay home.
Mm-hmm.
But you let trouble hit the center house, he's going to run this church. And so we get it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But because the devil wanted to divide us, put us by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And my mama said, idle mind
is the devil
workshop. The devil workshop. So you get by yourself, the only thinking you're going to get is what devil tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you come in the church house and you be around the saints, you're going to hear some word that's going to tell you you don't have to settle for that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Your God is able. Your God is greater.
Mm-hmm.
But you by yourself, all you're going to be thinking about is that problem, that situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're going to be looking at. But if you can just get to somebody who got some kind of faith to tell you, hey, brother, this ain't the end of it. It ain't what it looked like. God is able. And then you can be encouraged and inspired. So I believe what's happening here today, and we can take this to see if we can be an encouragement to somebody when they're going along. So, I'm going to leave you on we're still in 21, verse 27 and 28.
Some things were made over. Some Jews from
When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Men of Israel, help us. This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people and our law in this place."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, what are we going to say about this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they saw Paul at the temple, and that stirred them up because they were saying that the whole crowd had seized him. And they were shouting, and the men of Israel saying, "Help us. This is the man who teaches all men evil, everything against our people." But they didn't know what they was really talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They were just throwing that out there. and against talking against him and on that route.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple. So this man was somebody he had talked with earlier, that they had been together maybe earlier today,
mm-hmm.
and were just together, not that he was bringing him into the temple with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Awesome. Amen. Okay. Awesome.
You're now live on the air.
Hi, everyone. This is Sister Sabrina, and I just wanted to comment on Pastor Bright Butterfield. What you were saying was about, you know, the devil's workshop and how important it is that this Bible study at 12 o'clock and so forth. So you're really blessing people, and, you know, you may not realize it that, you know, because when you are alone and you can still have the word in you, but sometimes you do get attacked. But then, you know, this Bible study is so important at 12, and even it's in person, but still we can participate on the phone, which is a blessing for the ones that can't be there. So, you know, when you said that, that just really hit home, and I just wanted to come in and just let you know that, you know, this work that you're doing, that you and Sister Ann, Pastor Ann is doing, is awesome, and it's really paying off. You know, if you don't know it or not, I just wanted to let you know that it is paying off in a good way, that it's so available for the people that can't actually be there. We can still participate. So, you know, this virus is not all bad. It's not all bad. You've reached people and that you don't even know. And, you know, this couldn't happen if the virus wasn't here. You know, it could be people at home that we don't even know about that couldn't participate. But now that this pandemic is here, and you're still reaching people that, you know, so it's not all a bad, you know, it's just how you look at it. So
right.
I just thank God for, you know, for y'all. And I apologize for, because you said on Saturday to read Acts 21, but it's been a lot going on. My dad's in the hospital, and I didn't read. So I got a little lost but you broke it down. So I'm kind of in it now. But then this part where they stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, but that's my fault because I didn't read 20. If I would have read 20 and 21, because it's always good to read, you know, the chapter before and the chapter after. So it's my fault, but I'm kind of catching up. So I just wanted to comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much. And so we see now, Ellie, you have?
Hey, Sabrina. But, yeah, and right, I was just going to say up in 21, the same people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know when I read that, about these people going on off on the wrong thing because he wasn't teaching the Jews not to obey Moses' law.
Mm-hmm.
He was just telling these new Gentiles they didn't have to go through hundreds of real, you know, ritualistic things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but when they stirred up the crowd, and the crowd of people had the wrong idea, I was just so visualizing something that happened at the earlier part of last month. And I was like, you know, and that was their job, to stir up insurrection and everything. And I was like, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
It happened then and it's happened now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know,
yeah.
Right now in our face.
Right now.
And now
remember.
Yes, Lord. In 21 and 11, when Agabus got up, he said that when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound him with his own hands and feet, and said, "The Jews at Jerusalem bind this man that owned this girdle and shall deliver him unto the hands of the Gentiles."
Yes.
So we see now where the Jews are the ones who are carrying this out. They're trying to bind Paul. So when God says something, it's going to happen. Like they told me, Cheryl's grits is grocery. It's going to happen. And so we see now where the Jews are stirred up.
Mm.
Now, Paul then went through this ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Shaved his head, paid for the sacrifice. I mean, he done went through all of this now. And here go the Jews. Come crying out. After, now, you know, it's amazing that after you done went through and suffered, when you go through a fast we just came off, don't think the devil's going to be backing off of you.
That's right.
He's going to charge you to see now what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did you really get something out of that fast?
Mm-hmm.
Did God really do something for you in that fast? I'm going to find out today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like Bishop Kevin say, not today, Satan.
Not today. Not today.
You could have tried it yesterday,
but not today.
And so the devil will try you. But so when we come out of a sacrifice, when we come out of good stuff that God has done for us and we know we've been revived, don't put your guard down.
Mm-hmm.
Because Satan is waiting.
He's coming. Mm-hmm.
He's coming. He wants to see what you got. And it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you will know, did you get something or not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you just miss a meal or did you really fast?
Hey. Mm-hmm.
So not only Satan would learn something, you should learn something too.
As well.
Hey, I guess I didn't really, all I did was miss a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you can testify today.
Amen.
You can testify.
Earlier, well, around May or June of last year, my little great-grandbaby, he was 7 years old then, and he was diagnosed with cancer. He went for his treatments and going back and forth, taking radiation and chemo. And he went about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they said they was going to just test him and let him come back in 2 or 3 weeks, and they was going to check him again.
Mm-hmm.
He went back last Friday. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No cancer.
Hallelujah. Glory.
No cancer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He came back and they said, well, we're going to give him, come bring him back in about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll test him and then and see if he's still free of cancer. To God be the glory. To God be
Hallelujah.
The glory. Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, prayers of the righteous avail as much.
Avail
you know
as
that?
Much. Yeah.
I'm telling you. Thank you for your testimony. Woo. Oh, my God. That's awesome right there. I think the lie that was within the text they were saying is that he was preaching this to all men
everywhere
against our people and the law and this place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't even know all men. If they hadn't even been nowhere but here in Asia. But you see how they do and kind of stretch that?
Stretch that.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you, LT.
And the last 4 digits is 2656. You're now live on the air.
Good afternoon, Pastor Steve and Pastor Ann.
Hello, how you doing?
I am doing well. I just wanted to make a brief point by saying that we can learn from this situation that Paul is going through, in that anytime we're trying to do what is right, what is good, what is the will of the Lord, the devil will always send his emissaries, his ambassadors, his imps to try to discourage you.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear today's message under the big umbrella of be not discouraged. And I'll take it one step further. How ironic is it that here is Paul being brought up on charges when Paul was the very person, going back to chapter 6, where he presided over the execution of Stephen, and now he is the one being accused and on the verge of being executed. So again, these ironies that I'm sure was brought back to Paul's remembrance are also, those negative memories are also sometimes used against us so that we can be discouraged. But I hear through these verses, the Lord is saying to us this afternoon, be not discouraged.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Good.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. We don't and things are going on. Because anytime you do good,
here he comes.
Evil going to show up.
Because
he don't like you when you're doing good. If the devil does not bother you, that means you ain't bothering him.
Yeah, there you go.
That means he got you where he wants you. But if you are doing the will of God, trust me, you are his adversary. So we see where now these men crying out, men of Israel. Only talking to the Jews now. They say, help. They cry out, help to the men of Israel. This is the man that teaches all men. Now, Paul don't know all men, but he's teaching all men, right?
Yeah.
That's how the devil would spread stuff. And, you know, the devil can't tell the truth. Even when he tells the truth, it's a lie. Because he got an alternative motive behind the truth he do tell. And so he said, he's teaching all men everywhere against the people. Now, against the people and the law and this place, meaning the temple. So he's teaching now, telling people that you cannot tell against us, against our nation. He's telling people now that the Jews are not right.
Call in this time. If the people can read the word and expound,
So he's saying that now. He's teaching us against the people. So now, see, the devil always was use words to get you riled up against somebody.
Yes.
Because now, if you tell them just against Moses, just against the temple, they might, you know, it take them a while to get riled up about that.
Right.
But you still tell them it's coming against you.
And
this is what 45 did. Told those people that the Congress has done you wrong. These states has done you wrong. They stole the election from you, not him. Listen to what he said now. They stole the election from you. So now these people now think something has hit them personally. When they went to the Capitol and did what they did, they're saying we got to help ourselves.
Right.
I mean, a man said, "Who else can come and help us?"
Yeah.
And they believed something was taken from them. Not that it was taken from Trump.
Taken from them.
But he persuaded them that it was taken from them.
These men
who crying out loud. So now they talking about y'all, talking about the people. They're against us.
Wow.
Paul is against us Jews.
Yes,
we got to stand together.
My Lord.
We got to, as Jews, we got to stand together. Paul is coming against us. You know, he half breed anyway. Not half breed, but he has two dual citizenship. You know, he can be on either side. Sometimes he a Jew, sometimes he a Gentile. And so we see now where he's saying that now you attack the people first. Now you attack the law.
Right.
Same thing happened at the Capitol.
Yeah.
They're coming against y'all, but now they're taking the law, the Constitution, and they're coming against that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, only that now, they're coming against this place.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Jews, they reverenced the tabernacle, the temple.
Yeah.
Because it was so beautiful, and you couldn't come in there any kind of way.
That's right.
And so, you know, just like my mama, the front room.
Mm-hmm.
The only time you come to the front room, you got to be a visitor, and you better take your shoes off. And, you know, back in the day, some of those people, my mom didn't have this, but some of those folks had the plastic over the sofa. They had to preserve that thing. So the Jews now thinking the temple is so precious. And Paul is teaching against this. Oh, my goodness. I believe that crowd got stirred up. This man know what to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to it now. The only reason why he says that is because he is an instrument used by God to fulfill the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
But the prophet already said the Jews was going to bind you up.
Right.
And so we see where he said now, and then further, to make matters worse, he brought these folks into the temple. The nerve of Paul. She just came from a nightclub last night, and she coming to the church house, dressing like a harlot, and she in the church house, and she down front. Oh, my God. What manner of people is this? So this guy, he's trying to incite a riot to get Paul taken out.
My Lord.
He brought Jews in here and has polluted this holy place. Oh, my goodness. So sinners ain't supposed to come to church. Oh, my God. Only if you're right, you're supposed to come to church. Oh, my goodness. So we see that this is happening even today. That Satan himself would have a mouthpiece to stir up stuff. But whatever he does, he's only doing what God wants done. Because God already told Paul through Agabus and all those other prophets that when Paul go to Jerusalem, this is going to happen to him. So we're going to ask Elder Randy Ford, if you don't mind reading verse 29 and 30. Elder Ford?
Fine. Yes, I'm here, Pastor. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation.
Okay.
Verses 29-30 reads as follows. For earlier that day, they had seen him in the city of Trophimus, a Gentile from Ephesus, and they assumed Paul had taken him into the temple. The whole city was rocked by these accusations, and a great riot followed. Paul was grabbed and dragged out of the temple, and immediately the gates were closed behind him. So here we have a situation where, based on a rumor, an accusation, Paul is a guilty party. And if I just jump back, just one little point of emphasis, if I jump back to the preceding verse 27, there's a phrase that says, the Jews from Asia. Now, these aren't people that were in Jerusalem. These are people who came far and wide to cause problems, to stir up trouble.
Come on now.
And Pastor Ann and Pastor Stephen, with and I know Elder Heath, I know you guys have been with the light for decades, and you can testify to the fact that there were people who weren't even associated with the light who would want to bring problems, trouble, rumors against the light, even though they came from far and wide. We have the same thing going on here.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And like Pastor Stephen said, they were believing in this accusation, this rumor, to the point where they felt the temple was so vilified and so made dirty that they dragged Paul, threw him out, and immediately shut the gates to the temple behind him. So they wanted to make a point that this man is causing problems. Look who he associates with. Look at how he defiled our temple, our church, and we ain't having nothing to do with him. In fact, we are going to drag him out, close the door behind us, and we're going to kill him on the spot for you to see, to make an example of him, that anybody else who's thinking on doing this, this is what's going to happen to you. And as we see this chapter progress, Paul, being a man of faith, we'll see how there is divine intervention, and I'll leave it at that.
Amen.
Thank you so much, man.
Amen.
That was great. That was great. Great lesson.
Yeah, you never have to worry if you're in the vein and in the flow of God. God will always protect you if you are doing what is right.
That's right.
Amen. So we see, see now. it's so powerful. And I'm gonna leave your mic on, okay, Ford?
You can
jump in periodically.
Thank you.
Sabrina, well, I'm put your mic on too, so you can jump in if you want to. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Great. Okay. So we see here. The same thing going on today, January 6th. All it took was one body coming in. Now, these people, and you brought a great point, they weren't even in Jerusalem.
Jesus.
These out-of-towners, and that's what's been happening with these riots.
Throughout the city.
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
There were people, these same people who went to the Capitol, some of them went to these riots, and I saw in Atlanta where there was a pallet of bricks in the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody had to bring that there
because
there was no construction going on. But there's a pallet of bricks left there so people can have something to hit buildings with. All these things are planned. And so people today is the same way back then. They're doing the same evil corruption. The whole city got moved. I mean, they stir up everybody.
They stirred it up.
You messing with the temple? Every Jew that you know, you in trouble now. You defiled the temple, and this man came. He just said, "Listen, we're gonna drag you out of here." He done bring a Gentile and put, and they suppose this now. They ain't see this happen. They ain't see this happen.
Hello. Hey, Brother Randy.
Hey, Sister Sabrina. God bless you. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing good. I think we lost them, you think?
You know, this happened last week also. I'm just going to wait 1 minute, and if it doesn't come back on, let's just dial back in.
Okay, yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, let's just dial back in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
With the people believing that, and I believe that they were thinking that they may have been doing the right thing to be trying to not have him in the temple or whatever. But the point is here is that with when people come together, there's power in that. You can make things happen, and that's why Paul was a little bit in trouble right here with them being able to drag him out because there was more against him. But, of course, God was right there with him. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So let's go to verse. Now, they done shut the temple door.
I don't know.
We shut the church down.
No, nobody.
Nobody coming in now.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we hear the word of the pandemic, we have shut church down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm.
And so nobody can come in. They're gonna live. We gonna just throw him out.
Mm-hmm.
So he cannot come back in. Mm-hmm. And so yes, ma'am. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 29, where it says they had previously seen, what is the name, Trophimus, the Ephesian in the city with Paul, and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple area.
Mm-hmm.
That's falsely accused,
mm-hmm.
and it happens daily. You know, people will falsely accuse you of something that you know you weren't a part of, but that you didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
But that just restarted me when I was reading through that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. That they assumed. And we make assumptions all the time, right? All the time. 31, you're going to read 31 and 32? All right, we make assumptions.
While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the riders saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul.
Wow. Okay. Awesome.
No, I was just saying it's like today when you call out the National Guard, you know, to protect somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And since it was, you know, this Roman commander, he didn't necessarily have to protect the Jews.
Mm-hmm,
they didn't, you know, from anybody. But rather than have the city torn up, you know, it's funny how God will protect you sometimes just because you're trying to protect something else. You know, not necessarily let you like him or agree with him,
right,
but
right.
Let's get him, you know, off of the streets or do whatever before they tear up the whole city.
Awesome. Anyone else have any comments out there?
So anybody? Forge? Sabrina?
Mm-mm.
Any comment?
No, sir, not at this time.
Okay, awesome. So they begin to take Paul out and beat him. Now, this is so ironic that when we were introduced to Paul, this is what Paul was doing. Dragging folks out of home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's so true.
When we first got introduced to Paul, he was on the other side of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he
that's
was
right.
the one.
Dragging people.
The same man that raised up against him.
Uh-huh.
Now, this was Paul before Christ, they say B.C., Paul was the one dragging folks out who was not obeying the law. So now the table has been turned.
Mm-hmm.
Now Paul is being victim
mm-hmm.
of what he was doing
when we first got introduced to him.
Mm-hmm.
That now they're taking people out when they used to take people out the house and whoop them, beat them, and sometimes kill them. Now here go Paul taken out. He was taken out of his house.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken out of God's house.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. And now they're whipping him.
Mm-hmm.
And was but God.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going through. No matter how bad your circumstances, in the midst of it, when God feels that you had enough,
mm-hmm.
He'll send somebody to rescue you
mm-hmm.
just in time. Oh, my goodness. God will send somebody to send you a life raft just in time. When you feel like you went down for the last time, before you know it, here come that life raft to pull you up.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Paul now is being whooped, beaten, and God allowed the captain, the chief captain, to hear this riot going on. And, you know, back then, because the Jews were under captivity of the Romans was in charge. So anytime any noise come in the neighborhood, there's always somebody send word to the Romans and say, hey, look what them Jews doing over here. You're going to have some snitch. So the word got to the captain, and God had it to be so, just to rescue Paul. Ain't that just like God?
Yeah.
He would use somebody who you think the enemy to come and rescue you from the people who should be protecting you. Paul, being a Jew, being harassed and beaten by the Jews, but being rescued by a Roman. Won't God do it?
He'll do it.
Mm-hmm. When people who are least likely to be the one helping you, that's who God will raise up just to help you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the name of the regiment. Like, in the black regiment that went up and they rescued, you was the fourth, the whatever man was. Anybody know what that was back at, you know, not San Juan Hill, but the black regiment.
Yeah.
That went to, actually they rescued the whites and they made it available. I think the story of them is also portrayed in the movie Glory. So when they went, you know, and actually the war was saved. Because of them, and the blacks were supposed to be the enemies at that time of the whites because they couldn't associate with them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they were the ones that God sent
to rescue
the others so they could get through. And I said, you just never know.
You never know.
Elohim 33 and 34. We got 4 more minutes. Let's see. We have time. Okay, we're going to stop at 32, and we'll begin at 33 on next week. So we want to thank you all so much. Those of you who are tuning in, we are so grateful that you guys are here with us. Amen. And we thank God for Ella Heath and for Mama Lizzie and everybody that's here, my wife and everybody that's here. We thank God for allowing us to spend this time in the Word. And just feeding and eating and receiving that no matter what it looks like, there's hope. And so we want y'all, of those of you out there, go online, if y'all don't mind, and do your offering. Go to the website and do your offering.
And also, those of you that are here, go ahead and do your offering. But those of you that are out there, online, I want you to, if you don't mind, I got to open up the line for one other person here. I'll get my husband to open up this line for this other person. But what it was, I have to report, and I won't have it unless give it to me. It won't come until this evening on the report this evening, but I need it for now. So you can tell me how you're giving, those of you that is online. You can tell me how you're giving, how much you're giving. I don't really need a name. I just need to know an amount.
Mm-hmm. $5.
Okay.
Online.
Mm-hmm. Through the app. Uh-huh.
I didn't hear everything you said. I'm sorry. You were breaking up a little bit.
Hey, it may be the phone or I have my mask on. But what I want you to do, I want you to give an offering. You don't have to say who you are or anything. I just want you to tell me the amount and how you're giving.
Okay, so I'm going on. I'll go on the app, and
uh-huh.
My donation would be $5.
Okay, all right, got it. Gotcha. Anyone else?
And so, do you want us to just put Noonday Bible Study as the
yes.
the memo
in the notes? You put Noonday Bible Study. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When you give, you put Noonday Bible Study. Okay.
Yes,
is there anyone
okay.
else giving online? The lines are open, so if you want to give, just say something. I'll know that you're there. Okay. Thanks. Want to thank all of you who has tuned in online, and also for those who are here face to face. We want to say thank you so much for tuning in to the Noonday Bible Study, and we pray that God continue to be with you, and that we continue to read chapter 21, and I believe we're going to start next week with verse number 33. So God bless you, and we pray that you have a marvelous day. All right? See you
thank
next
you
week
too.
At 12 noon. God bless.
God bless.
God
bye,
bless.
Everybody.
Goodbye.